Emerson with us this evening and his wife Beverly. I'll make you welcome too. Keeping him right on the way up. He's not speeding too much or anything like that. But it's lovely to have you both and really appreciate Colin. Colin and I, good friends. He's a good encourager. He's generally up about the same time as me in the morning. One of the few people, and he'll come right back whenever I'm up early. But you know what they say, Colin, if you get a reputation for being up early, you can lie in bed all day. So that's the secret. That's why we send out the messages when we do. But it's lovely to have him here tonight, and he's just going to come now and share his life story with us. Thank you, brother.
Good, Willer. Good to be here tonight. Thanks to Philip for his words of welcome. It's me should be opening the meeting for him and sitting down, but it's good anyway to be here and to tell what the Lord has done. You know, a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, Philip rung me and he says, "Will you come and tell your life story?" And he says, "But I haven't much of a life story, really." But then when you begin to write it all down, you realise how the Lord has worked through your life and blessed you in every way. And so it's good to have a story to tell. And so it is an absolute privilege to be here tonight for Pastor Bowles. It's really good to be able to say that now. Philip was one of the young men. He come up through Lurgan. And so it's just a real privilege to be here in his church tonight speaking and sharing with him. He's a great lad. And so we just pray that the Lord will continue to bless him up here in Kilray. Let's just have a wee word of prayer before we come to his word. Lord, we just thank you tonight for Calvary. Thank you that we've been brought to Calvary tonight in our song. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Thank you tonight that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank you tonight that Jesus is very near. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to testify and to tell what thou hast done for us, that you would just bless tonight, that you would give help. And through this all, Lord, that your name and your work will be glorified. Pray for those in tonight still without Christ, that even through this word tonight, that some would come to know the Saviour. So, Lord, we need help. And we ask for it tonight. And we ask for a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Philip told me I could take as long as I could or I wanted, and that's a very dangerous thing to tell me, but seriously, we'll not be too long. I want to read tonight 3 verses. I'm going to make it work for a minute or two. And we're heading into Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And if you haven't a Bible with you, don't you worry, because I just read these verses very clearly. And just make my point. And then I'm heading to tell what the Lord has done first. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me." I want you to think about 3 words. He loved me. You know, I'm glad that he loved me. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, the greatest. Jesus loves me. He loved me. Imagine loving a boy like me. But he loved me. And not only did he love me, the Bible says, not only did the Son of God love me, but he gave himself for me. It's good to be loved. When someone tells you that they love you, it's a nice thing, isn't it? But imagine the Son of God loving me, loving you so much that he gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. That's a wonderful thing about the gospel message tonight. It's for the whosoever. It includes everybody and it excludes nobody. There's no creed, there's no culture, there's no colour, there's no conditions. Whosoever will may come. God loved me. He loved me. I want you to look at a wee verse in Psalm 40. Away in the Old Testament. Great verses in the Psalm 40. Psalm number 40. And it's a psalm of David. And David says in Psalm 40 and verse 1, he says this. He says, I waited patiently. It's not easy being patient here, isn't it? Someone prayed, Lord, make me patient. Drop my notes. Lord, give me patience and give me it quick. Anyway, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. And I think that's a wonderful thing, to think that God, the Lord, Jehovah, inclined. When you incline to someone, you lean towards them. And so, while he waited patiently for the Lord inclined unto him, and he heard his cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established me going. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto your God. Many shall see it, shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Out of the pit and out of the mire, sat on the rock and into the choir. It's brilliant, isn't it? So not only did he love me, Galatians 2 and verse 20, but when I think about the psalmist, he lifted me. He lifted me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Clay is a sticky thing. I ended up on a field, in the middle of a field in Donaghcloney yesterday morning. This is a long story. We were stripping soil off a job, and it had rained on Friday night, and it turned out mucky. And when your feet, when you're walking through the field, your feet's dragging. And I was thinking about this verse. He lifted me out of the hard pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. There's nothing as solid as a rock. Set my feet upon a rock, and he established me going. And I put a new song in my mouth, even though many of us can't sing. Pastor Bowles can sing, but I'm not a very good singer. Plenty of volume, but not much tune. But he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So he loved me, and he lifted me. And there's one wee verse in Genesis, chapter 48. Away at the end of Genesis, this great book of beginnings. Genesis 48. And verse 15. And Jacob has lived a long life, and he's down in Egypt. And he gathers his whole brood around him, all his sons. He's dying. He's on his deathbed, Jacob. And in Genesis 48 and verse 15, he says this. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who fed me all my life long unto this day. And so God loved me, God lifted me, and just like Jacob of old, he looked after me. And he continues to look after me. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. He loved me. He lifted me. He looks after me. As many know, I have been here many times before now, and my name's Colin Emerson. In fact, my name's Norman Colin Emerson. My mother thought it was a good thing to call me Norman. But by the time I arrived, I was the third Norman. My grandfather was Norman. My father was Norman. He gets Norrie for short. And they named me Norman as well. Norman Colin Emerson. So because there's already two Normans, I decided that I would get Colin, which was dead on. So I was born on the 19th of July. And you're all waiting for the year, aren't you? It was 1971, and it's 52, and it saves you counting for a minute or two, all right? Get that out of the road. I'm married to Beverly, who's here with me tonight. She's been my wife for over 30 years now, and she really needs a medal. You know, one of them things, St. George's Cross, whatever you get for bravery. So she needs something like that. We have three kids, Louise, Chloe, and Ryan. And we have two grandsons. You wouldn't think I'm a grandad. And we have another one on the way, which is good news. As I say, I was born on the 19th of July, 1971, in a nursing home in Portadown, not in Craigavon Hospital for some reason, but in a nursing home in Portadown. That's where I was born. The night I was born, the nurses all said it was the most beautiful baby they'd ever seen. It's not on record now, it's only hearsay, of course. I live in a wee place called Ardmore. Now, if you go home and Google Ardmore, there's many Ardmores. There's an Ardmore in County Wicklow. There's an Ardmore heading into Derry or Londonderry or whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. But you need to Google Ardmore, County Armagh. So when you Google Ardmore, County Armagh, you'll see that it's just a wee townland right on the southern shore of Lough Neagh. There's nothing in it, only just a townland. It's called Ardmore Point, and that's where the Emersons have always been from and probably always will be. I was born into a Christian home. My mum and dad knew the Saviour from before I was born. Both sets of grandparents knew the Saviour. And in fact, them all sort of clustered together, all attended Ardmore Gospel Hall. That's where I was brought up. Now, I need to go a wee step further back here because this is a very interesting story. My great-great-grandfather was a man called George Emerson. He would have lived about the late 1800s. And they attended the Church of Ireland in Ardmore, just at the top of the hill. Actually, Ardmore Church is in Derry Ard, but I suppose that's Irish for you, but there you are. And in round about the late 1800s, the Faith Mission pitched a big gospel tent in the townland of a place called Derry Macaish, which is not overly far from where we live. And George Emerson, my great-great-grandfather, and his friend Thomas Parks were just two young men, and they got onto the bikes one night, and they went to the gospel mission. And as they went into the gospel mission in the tent one summer's night, there was a good crowd in it. Those people went to church and meetings in those days. And they ended up about two rows from the front, which they didn't really want, but there you are. And these Faith Mission pilgrim men got up to preach the gospel. And that one of those particular men that night preached about heaven, and he certainly preached about hell, didn't he? And he preached about sin, and he preached about the blood, and he preached about the cross. And he said in his sermon that night that maybe there's young men in the tent tonight and you could be heading for hell and you don't know it. And the two lads came out and they got on their bikes and they were heading home towards Ardmore, and one said to the other one, "If that man's right what he's saying, we're not in very good ground here." And a very short time after, those two young men, through reading of the scriptures, come to know the Saviour. And they began to go to the Gospel Hall in Ardmore. They got on their bike every Sunday morning and they drove into Lurgan to the Gospel Hall for many years and back out again, and went back at night again, rain, hail or snow, and come back out the road again. And after a wee while then, they established Ardmore Gospel Hall. And that original building is in our yard now, where our garage is. Or work at the lorries. We never knocked it down. It's just an old building. There's a tin roof on it, and we store tires on it, would you believe? But it's there, and it'll stay there as long as any of us are about. And so the Emerson family had had brethren roots. And so my grandparents on my father's side, the grandparents on my mother's side, they were all attended Ardmore Gospel Hall together. And so how I ever ended up a Baptist, it's a long, long story, but there you are. I But even though I had this great, goodly and godly heritage, I was still born into this world a sinner. Because salvation's not found in a race. Salvation's all about grace. And so I was just like everybody else on this planet tonight, on this globe, 8 billion people almost on the globe tonight, and every one of us has something in common, is that we're all sinners. The Bible says we were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And then the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I'm a sinner tonight, and you're a sinner, but I wonder if you're saved by grace. I am, and there's many here tonight can go back to a time in their life. I was brought to the Sunday school, to the children's work, the gospel meeting every Sunday night. I remember the greatest of preachers coming to Ardmore Gospel Hall. My dad and my mum entertained them. Many of them ended up on our house after the gospel meeting on a Sunday evening for tea. And I remember sitting listening to those men preaching about the cross, many of them preaching about the rapture, about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. For some reason we don't hear that much now, but I remember hearing those men, many, in fact the vast majority of them, of course, now are in heaven. What a privilege it was. I thank God many times, almost every day, that I was brought up the way I was, cradled in the gospel. And I used to go to bed at night and I used to listen for my mum and dad speaking or talking in the next bedroom, just to make sure that they were still there. Remember the fear of God being upon me even as a young boy, as I dreaded the coming again of the Lord Jesus of the rapture. I knew that it was only those that were saved and ready to go would be caught up, as Paul says to the Thessalonians, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And I used to listen for them speaking at night. And I used to hear my dad praying every night. That's one thing I remember about him. He used to get down on his knees at the side of bed every night. And he used to pray. And he prayed for his four sons, Colin, Mark, Ian, and Glenn. And I used to hear that time after time after time. I heard that. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent in the meeting tonight. Pray for your children and pray for your grandchildren. Dad worked very hard. We had a family business. I'm going to talk about that in a wee while. Worked very hard in the family business. Worked from morning to night to provide for us. We had a good home. Mum worked in the office a bit as well as looking after us. And she done the payroll in the office and accounts and bits and pieces like that there. And it was a good home, but I often say my mum was the best aim with a wooden spoon ever. She never missed. She was good. And she went to be with the Lord 4 years ago. We were taught the things of God, taught that God loved us and Christ died for us. One great thing that my mum and dad taught us well was that there was no such a thing as orange and green, nothing like that. That we were all the same in the eyes of God. When God looked out of heaven, he just seen people for what they are, for sinners. And there was no Catholic and there was no Protestant. We were all the same in the eyes of God, and how right that was. I had an uncle and an aunt, and they lived down the road, and they had a good news club in their garage on a Friday night. They worked it under the office of CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. They used all their resources and stuff, and we used to go down to that on a Friday night. There was one night, can't remember an awful lot about it, just I do remember that there was one particular Friday night in the wee garage, that it was June 1980. And it was just 9 years of age, and there was a man by the name of John Clark on Philip and Loam. He goes to the church in Lurgan, and John Clark worked a lot through CEF in those days. He owned a business in Bordown, but he had a good heart for the CEF, and he was there this Friday night, particular night, speaking. And I can't remember what John Clark spoke on that night, but I do remember really feeling, I know now, of course, the conviction of sin, really feeling the Lord speaking to me. And when we went home that night, I remember going into the house, and my dad was building an extension on the house, and there was this good room, what we called a good room, that we weren't allowed into, the lads. There was a living room, and then there was a good room. And the only time the good room was ever used was when God's people were there. When people were there from the church or when the preachers were there for their tea, the good room was used. There was no bouncing on the settees in there, or you'd have got a warm ear or a warm lug. But so that particular, the house was a bit upside down because of the extension. And I remember going home that night, going into the good room, and just sitting down on the what we called the good settee, and just asking the Lord that night to come into my life, to save my soul, that I was sorry for my sin. And he came in that night and was gloriously and wonderfully saved. Now, I didn't understand at all. I still don't understand at all. Didn't understand all about God's grace and God's mercy. But I knew from what had been taught as a wee boy what I needed to do. And just that particular night, I come to know the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And I can hardly remember what I'd done yesterday. But I remember that night like it was today. I just remember it. And I remember that night what happened. I know the Bible says, or the chorus says, a little child of seven, or even three or four, can enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. There's an old hymn and it says this is only a step to Jesus. Come on your sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he kindly offers you. And it's only a step. It's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it tonight? And I was baptized as a teenager in the Gospel Hall in Ardmore, and I became a member of the assembly there for many years. I heard your pastor as he announced my last Sunday night or Sunday morning. It was a bit of a talk around Lurgan about it, but anyway, the first time I ever preached, I remember going to a place. It's on the Moy Road out of Portadown. It's a wee Gospel Hall. They call it Scott Street Gospel Hall. It's a wee area out there called Scott Street, just a wee couple of shops and stuff, and I suppose it's got built up now over the years, but Scott Street Gospel Hall. And I was just 15 and my dad encouraged me to speak, to come to the gospel meeting with him. And I remember he opened the meeting like Philip done tonight for me, and then I get up to speak, and I remember preaching my guts out, and thought it was the next, I don't know, Chuck Swindle or Billy Graham or somebody like that there. And I remember preaching my guts out, thought I'd done really well. I remember sitting down looking at the clock, and I had preached for 4 minutes. How things have changed. Now they can't get me stopped. But anyway, you know, my dad encouraged me, and he kept encouraging me, and he pushed at me, and me and him preached for many years through the province every Sunday night, through all the gospel halls. Sometimes it was local, sometimes there's a right spin involved, and it was a privilege to do that for many years with him. And he's still on the circuit. In fact, he's in Romania tonight, preaching the gospel in Romania at orphanages and at churches out there tonight. And that's again the wonderful thing about the gospel message. It's a universal message. It's all may live, for Christ has died. You come to an age when you're a lad or a young fella that you'll be starting to get interested in girls and cures and all that sort of thing, probably in that particular order. But I began to go to, there was a gathering on a Saturday night in the Civic Centre in Craigavon. They called it the Cleft. It was like a youth rally every Saturday night. And I think they're great things, by the way, youth rallies. Getting Christian young people together and getting them matched up, I think it's a great thing, actually. But anyway, that of course wasn't the purpose now of the Cleft, although there was a lot of marriages and so on, relationships come out of it. But I began to go to the Cleft on a Saturday night, me and another few lads, young Christian lads, and there was one particular Friday night, there was a social at it, and spied a young girl by the name of Beverly Copeland, best looking girl ever I seen, and I picked her for the Honeymoon Express game at the social, and well, the rest history, there you are, 30 years later. She was from a good family, turned out that my mum and dad knew her mum and dad. Her dad was a good man, he was an elder in Lurgan Baptist Church for many years, and her mum was one of the godliest women ever I met, and she was from a good family. And she has been a good help to me over the years. I don't know how she's ever put up with me. Pastor Judd the day of our marriage. He said for better and for worse. I've got worse and she's got an awful lot better. But there you are. We were married on the 5th of June, 1993. 30 years passed. I built a house at home at Ardmore. And then as the years went on, God blessed us with three of a family, Louise and Chloe and Ryan. And it's hard to believe now, after 30 years, that Louise is married to Nathan, and Chloe's married to Maddie, and Ryan's getting married to Julia next year. And he has blessed us with two grandsons, with Kai and Mason. Mason's named after me. You wonder how that works, wouldn't you? How is Mason named after Norman Collin? Well, Mason means a man who works with stone. So there you are. That was good thinking on Chloe's part, wasn't it? Mason. So 30 years, do what I tell you, it has went very quick. And it hasn't always been roses. But how quickly 30 years go, and the Lord's been good to us. And your children grow up so quickly. And now we have two grandchildren and another one on the way. And I would encourage you tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're a grandparent, to have a godly influence on your grandchildren. You know, when you're parents and you're bringing up kids, you're busy. It's hard to keep a house. And the two parents most times need to be working to keep the house and to keep everybody fed and keep everything going. And I understand that 100%. And the days go by very quickly. They turn into weeks, they turn into months, they turn into years. And the kids grow up very quickly. I don't need to come to Kilrea to tell you all this. You know all this anyway. But a grandparent, you might have a wee bit more time. So spend time with them. And tell them the Word of God. And read them the Word of God. And don't be worrying about Thomas the Tank. And all those things are good. Now, please don't get me wrong. We lads, and what is Paul but throw lame law, learn all these things again. But you know what I mean? Be a godly influence. Tell them the stories of the Word. Pray over them. Pray with them. And be a good influence to them. Life is good. Life was good. But as I say, there was hard years. There was times that things happened. And I suppose one of the biggest things in our life happened on the 7th day of September 2015. It was a Sunday night. We were in church in Lurgan, in the Baptist church that night. And Beverly's mum and dad, they were both retired. And they had a caravan in Newcastle, and Beverly's dad loved the caravan. But he wouldn't miss church. So the pattern was that on a Sunday night after they left church, that they went to Newcastle, and they stayed there the Thursday lunchtime. And then they come home because they wouldn't miss the prayer meeting on the Thursday night. And then they were there all day Sunday, and then they headed back to Newcastle again. And on the Sunday night, coming out of church that night, we spoke to them and said, listen, I'll see you on Thursday night. And Beverly said, gear in through the week and so on. And we were in the bed. It was about 12:30 or 1:00 on Monday morning. And the phone rang, and I lifted the phone at the side of the bed to answer the phone call from a lady who just said to me, is that Colin? I said, it is. She says, can you come quick? I said, who is this? And she says, this man's dead. And I said, please tell me who. And she says, I'm in Newcastle. She says this, and the next thing then, my mother-in-law come on the phone. And Beverly's dad had got into bed in the caravan and it gave a wee bit of a grunt or something like that. And Beverly's mum had spoke to him, and he hadn't answered, and he was gone. Very, very quickly, very suddenly, went into eternity. And we headed to Newcastle that night. And due to the circumstances, the ambulance came, and the police came, and the undertaker come, and all that. It was a long night. And our lives were, I suppose, were to change forever. Bertie was a good man, a man who loved the Lord, and put him first in everything he done. He was a good elder. He was a good father. He was a good father-in-law. He was a good grandfather. And we loved him. But God took him home. That was in September 2015. Beverly's mum didn't get on very well after that. She obviously grief hit her, and she had suffered from cancer 25 or 30 years before, breast cancer 25 or 30 years before. And Christmas come and gone, and early in the new year she didn't feel well. She was very through off. She was laying about and sitting about a lot, which wasn't like her at all. She was a busy woman all the time. And eventually we got her to go to the doctor, and she was re-diagnosed with cancer again. And so she come to live with us. Thought it was good to bring her to our house, and we made a place in the front or the children's room, the playroom for her, put a bed in there. And she spent about 6 or 7 months with us. And then one night he came in and been out all day busy, and come in and went in to see her as always done. And she says, come in to see me when you get your dinner. And so when I got my dinner, I went in and I sat down at the bed beside her, and he says, well, what sort of a day had you? So she said it was all right and so on. And she says, it was something like a Wednesday or Thursday. She says, I want to go home on Saturday. And he says, what do you mean you want to go home? She says, I want to go home. And he says, well, what do you want to go home for? Sure, you're all right here, and the kids is here, and Beverly's here, and you've been well looked after here. And she says, no, no doubt about that. But she says, I just want to go home and die. And die at home, and then be in bed. And so she wasn't a bit hopped out of it. And that happened, and just 6 weeks later, she passed from her own bed in the presence of the angels in heaven. My mum is dead 4 years ago, just last week. She was diagnosed with cancer on the 19th of July, 2019, the day of my birthday. She hadn't been feeling so well. We brought her to the Ulster Clinic. She got a scan and so on. And I went with my dad and her on the 19th of July that year down to see the consultant, and he put the scans up, and they weren't good. And in just 5 weeks, she went to be with the Lord as well. Her desire was that she would die at home in her own bed with her family around her. And God gave her that wish, and she went to be with the Lord. It was sudden, it was quick. And so in 4 short years, we lost 3 parents. And just last year, on the 10th of November, 22, Beverly's only sister, Caroline, went to be with the Lord as well. And so sometimes families just get wiped out very quick. And you know, God's ways aren't our ways. And he knows best. But it was good to know that every one of them knew the Lord as their Saviour, and they lived for him. And great was their reward in heaven. I want to tell you a wee bit, and I'm near done, about the family business. Philip had asked me to say a wee bit about that. My grandfather founded our business. It was Norman Emerson, and then it became Norman Emerson and Sons Limited. And then it became the Norman Emerson Group Limited a few years ago. He founded it in 1945. His father was a man called John Emerson, and John Emerson, my great-grandfather, he was a farmer, and he also had a hill at what we call Ardmore. There was a hill on his land, a big hill, and he used to dig sand out of it. There was sand on the hill. And my grandfather was a bit of an entrepreneur as a young man. And we live right on the shore of Lough Neagh, right on the shore of Lough Neagh. Philip knows where I'm at. In fact, when I look out the front door of our house and look out the back door, you can see the water, and you can see the water. We live in the point. So my grandfather patented this pump, and he sat on the shore, and he had like a suction line about 40 feet out, and he used to row out in the boat at night and lift the suction head and shift it 10 feet or so, and then pumps on all day. And he pumped the grand sum of 7 or 8 ton every day. Nowadays we pump 2,500 ton, but that's another story. And so he done this, and then he rode out every night, and he shifted another few feet, and he pumped sand all day. And it was an early part of 1945. Now, if you know your history, that's just coming to the end of the Second World War. And so he began to sell the sand, and he very quickly bought a lorry, a Comer lorry, those that have used that are old enough to remember that. And he bought a Comer lorry, and he put his name on it, Norman Emerson, Sand and Gravel and so on. And he only had her 6 weeks or so, and the army came one day into the yard and said they were taking the lorry for the war. And he couldn't do anything about it, no matter how big a fight he put up. They took the lorry, said he'd get paid for it after the war, but there was never anything came, but anyway, the boat doesn't matter now. But so that was his, he started the business. And in fact, there was a legend came back that the lorry was seen on the beach in Dunkirk in France. Those guys from Belfast, because my grandmother came from Belfast, and my grandfather used to get on the train on a Sunday or on a Saturday night and go to see my granny. She lived on the Donegal Road, and we used to go up to the zoo under to the Floral Hall. There was a big dance on it on a Saturday night, and there was boys that had come back from the wharf that said they'd seen this lorry on the beach at Dunkirk. It's always a pity there wasn't a photo or something of it, but anyway, that's the way it is. Through the years then, we began to dredge sand from Loch Ness. Today there's over 1 million ton per year comes from the lake. It's heavily regulated, the Friends of the Earth love us and all that type of thing. Then over as the years went on, diversified into ready mix concrete and sand and gravel and bag product and an awful lot of stuff. And the business was good, and it grew for many, many years. And then in 2008, there was a worldwide recession came, if you remember that. Don't really want to remember it. I suppose it's 15 years ago now. But one particular Monday morning, somebody threw a switch up. I don't know where, who he was or what he'd done, but things stopped all of a sudden. And we had 200 people with us, walking with us in those days. Our turnover was over 20 million, it's no secret, but it just all stopped very, very suddenly. And we had to begin to take our business down. We had worked hard at it for years. There was a legacy, a family through it, and we had to begin to take it down piece by piece. And I remember sitting in front of over 100 people, one by one, and telling them the new job, telling them I was sorry, and that wasn't easy. And we took our workforce from 200 down to 50, from 20 million to 5 million. It's easy to grow a business, it's very, very hard to take it down. It was brutal. Our health was lost over it and many, many things. But listen, the Lord is good. And things began to turn again as we headed into 2012, 2013. And we're probably working harder than ever worked. But the Lord's good, and He blesses us, and He continues to bless us as we build it up again. And so the Lord's good, and He's always been good, and He's good all the time. And even as He saved me as a wee boy of 9 that night, you know, I just said tonight, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, and thank you, Lord, for making me whole, and thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. See, no matter what you have in life, there's nothing greater to have God's salvation. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Mark 8 and verse 36, He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every one of us have a soul tonight. It's in our innermost being. It's something that the doctor never find. It's something that an x-ray will never show up. Something that a DNA or an MRI scan will never show. Your soul. But it's your soul that lives forever. And it's what you do with your soul in this lifetime determines your destiny for all eternity. Mankind have sinned against God, and sin is a curse and the cancer of the soul. It eats, begins on the inside and it eats you to the outside. And we're all sinners, but Jesus came. In loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame through grace He lifted me. And He came from the mansions of glory, and His blood is a ransom He gave to purchase eternal salvation, and He's mighty to save tonight. And Christ Jesus, He came into the world to save. That's why He came to save. He was born to save. He was born to save, and He lived to save. And He died to save. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And then He rose to save, and He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Tonight he's able to save. He's able and he's willing to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. So he was born to save. He came to save. He was born to save. He lived to save. He died to save. He rose to save. He's able to save tonight. And the best thing of all tonight is that he wants to save you. He wants to save you tonight. Only trust him. Only trust him. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. He stands tonight with open arms and he says, come unto me. In childlike faith. Our wee grandson was in the house today and his mum was at one side and his nana was at the other side and the dorm side and he's just taking the first steps. He understands the wee word, just come. And that's what God does tonight. He just stands with open arms and he says, come. Come unto me. All you that labor, I wonder you tired of your sin tonight. Come to Christ. Are you tired of the way you're living tonight? Come to Christ. Do you want your sins forgiven tonight? Come to Christ. And so our lives are a tale as told. Our lives go on very quickly, don't they? James says, and as we apostle in his epistle, he says, our life, what he actually asks a question. He asks a question. He says, what is your life? Question mark. And then he answers it in the same verse. So he asks the question, what is your life? Question mark. And then he answers it. He says, it's just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. As I was telling you, we live in the show of the Lach. There was one morning last week where this fog came down, this mist came down early in the morning, it was still dark, and then the sun began to come up and there was a wee breeze, and you see in less than 2 minutes the mist was gone. I stood and I watched it, just the southern wind coming, it blew it towards town where it belongs, and it was just clear. And that's just our life. It's just like a vapor, just appears for a wee while. The Bible has a lot to say about your life. It's like a tale that's told, is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It's a vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. So everybody has a story, and this is my story. But to God be the glory. Great things he has done. He's done great things in my life, and he can do great things in your life if you simply come and trust in him. I wonder, would you come tonight at the end of our time together, at the end of the meeting? I wonder, would you come? He hung upon the cross with nails in his hands and in his feet, with a crown of thorns upon his brow. In the hours of darkness, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God punished his son for our sin. There is my surety. He firmly stood, paid for my ransom, his precious blood, and he died for my sin to bring me to God. Jesus died for me, and he died for you in Kilrea tonight. And none need perish, all may live, for Christ has died. I wonder, would you come tonight at the closure of our meeting? Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how. Oh, come to Christ, who shed his blood, and at the cross, get right with God. I trust that you get right with him tonight. Let's pray.